From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham and a very, very happy, in a good mood, Neil McCready with you this morning from the Clark Ford studio. Hope all of you are having blessed days with the tax deadline that is upon us with this April 17th date. I think it's April 17th. We will discuss a little bit of that today with Bo Jackson, not that Bo, even though Bo might know taxes as well. Different Bo Jackson, a member of RebelGrove.com, stepped up, Neil, searching for a tax specialist, and we certainly found one with him. So we'll discuss that a little bit with Bo here in a little while on the Billy's Pecans Hotline.
You were interested.
I was interested. Good. Yeah, I'm all good. Also, a quick talk with Steve Gent, the executive director of the North Mississippi Classic, the Web.com tour event that kicks off Thursday here in Oxford. Just for any fans trying to go, some quick stuff on tickets, parking, just kind of real fast need-to-know situations for the Web.com event here at the Country Cradle of Oxford beginning in a couple days. So that's on the show today, a podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go get some ribs, go get some lunch specials that are $4.99, and go get some daiquiris. Six flavors of daiquiris there at the Oxford Exxon. You can go in, you pick them up. Don't drink and drive, but you can have them ready when you get to your location, or I guess even drink them in the store if you so choose. As little as $3 there for a daiquiri at the Oxford Exxon. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. Call the number 662-257-1900. A lot of people that you do business with will screw you. Corey Clark will not. Corey's awesome. Seriously. With Corey, you make a phone call. You ask for Corey. You call Clark Ford, 662-257-1900. You ask for Corey Clark. You'll get Corey on the phone. You can chit-chat if you'd like. Or you can just start out right away and say, here's the Ford I'm looking for. Corey will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It'll be right to the bottom line. He's not going to haggle. He's not going to screw you. He's not trying. He's not lazy. He's not negligent. He's going to send you a quote in 15 minutes in business hours. You're going to get that quote, and then it's really up to you. You can, because it's your right, and quite frankly, as I've learned, you should shop around. You should. You should call some people. Find out what other people could do for you. Shop the quote if you'd like. Or you can just let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of the podcast, self-included, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience where you get a great Ford vehicle, great service after the sale at a fair price. 662-257-1900. At the end of your deal, to make it even better, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on this podcast or any of our other podcasts. $500 off the bottom line. Again, the number 662-257-1900.
Am I inferring correctly that every business person you deal with is not as good as Corey with taking care of you?
You know, I'm going to just let you, Anthony Chase Parham,
infer what you choose to infer.
This blessed
I was just
day.
Wondering if it was an implication there is all.
I'm going to let you decide that. You're a smart person. I've worked with you now for almost a decade.
It's true.
You are an intelligent young man. You are able to make your own inferences, and I'm going to let you do that on your own here today. Is that fair?
Yeah. Okay. I'll jokes aside for 1 second. Pretty tough Monday thoughts and prayers with multiple people associated with the podcast.
Yes.
Over the course of the last 24 to 72 hours.
Two that I know of. Is there more?
No, the two are what
okay.
I'm referring to. Chris Stewart, play-by-play guy for basketball and baseball for Alabama. I don't know exactly what happened, but something. Okay, would you like to fill in?
Yeah. I don't want to get too much into his privacy.
But I've seen some public tweets, yeah. So you're good there at least.
Chris had a stroke.
Caused by some sort of blood clot in his neck.
It was Monday morning, around 4:30 in the morning, he woke his wife muttering and that kind of thing. paramedics were called because she couldn't rouse him, couldn't wake him, and neither could the paramedics. He ended up having surgery. They think it was based on a birth defect that he did not know that he had.
Really?
The outlook is positive.
Yeah.
As of last night, he was not out of the woods necessarily, but they felt like
things were much better as of yesterday afternoon last night.
Chris is the voice. As you all know, Chris is a fantastic guy. I've known Chris since I first moved to Alabama. Mm-hmm. We did radio together back at a time when neither one of us had any business doing radio. And Chris is the voice of Alabama basketball. He's the voice of Alabama baseball. He's the sideline reporter for Alabama football, but you know this because you cover baseball as much as you do. Think of how much travel Chris does. I saw Chris when Alabama played Ole Miss in basketball at the Pavilion back in the spring, and I can't remember when that was. It was in January, and we had a conversation because he said, man, I'm so tired. I just got through with, you know, Alabama had gone to the playoffs, and he had basketball in the middle of that, and he had, you know, he was like, I've been on the road so much. And basically, from what I was told, is if Chris had had this episode while he had been on the road, people not with him, that he probably would not be with us today. So Chris is a super guy, beautiful family. If you are the praying type, add him to your list. If you're not the praying type, send some positive vibes.
Then also yesterday on just through Twitter, because I don't have a personal connection on the day-to-day basis, David Malinsky from Las Vegas, professional handicapper that we have on the site, during March Madness and planned some stuff moving into the future, hopefully have that opportunity. He has been missing in around a hiking area outside Las Vegas since Saturday. As of yesterday, there have been very few updates. I know they were trying to send out drones and helicopters and different things this morning. The wind or the ceiling or the visibility did not allow for that last night. There's a touch of optimism strictly because he apparently is a pretty proficient hiker in that regard, and there are places to bunker down if you're injured or if there is an issue. But as of this morning, no one has found him, and he is still classified as missing somewhere around the Las Vegas area. So between, you know, we had that, we had, you know, our coworker with Texas A&M site, Courtney Rowland, here a few months ago. It's been a trying bit of time here from that standpoint. But
is there an update on Courtney? She's okay?
Back at work. She covered a camp at least a couple weeks ago. I saw she took back to Twitter probably a month ago ish, and seems to have moved forward from that point. I think they ended up classifying it as an adverse reaction to medication mixed with alcohol, I believe, was the way it was classified.
Good. Glad she's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a quick update on what we know. We'll obviously update in future shows if we find out any more. And then kind of last thing here, this got brought to both our attention overnight. Thoughts with a seven-year-old in Missouri that was hit by a line drive and is in serious condition.
That was at a college game?
It appears to be a very small college game, MSSU or something like that. It's like Missouri Southern State or something. It was not – I saw somebody talking about Nets, and that's a very viable thought, but it wasn't at, you know
– Right.
It wasn't at a Royals game or a Cardinals game or a University of Missouri game or something. So
I criticize Major League Baseball a lot. I'm going to give them tons of kudos for this. Every one of the 30 teams has extended the netting significantly. And I'm telling you, it's going to save lives.
Oh, there's no doubt.
It just, you and I talk about this all the time because we sit in press boxes. I've told the story, I think I told it on this podcast, I'll be very short. I was at a game at Wrigley last September. It was after the NCAA thing and before I went out to California. And I just conveniently arranged my scheduling where I could go see the Cubs. And it was late in a game, and Carson was blowing up my phone telling me about the game that I was actually watching live. And I'm looking at my phone for a minute, and literally, Chase, one pitch, and the ball goes over my head. And I thought, this could happen to anybody. And I'm down the third baseline a little bit, kind of behind the Cubs dugout.
But it could hit you in the forehead.
Oh, yes. Temple, side of the head. Yeah, absolutely. Foul ball off a left-handed hitter. Late on a swing, protecting himself with two strikes. Yeah. A professional baseball player swinging a piece of wood at a ball that's probably traveling 90-plus miles an hour. Do the math.
Yeah.
Hope that kid recovers.
Last thing before we get into some news, thanks to Summer Vinson for inviting us to speak to a journalism class on campus yesterday. Neil, 50 minutes of life lessons and nuggets.
Neil McCready and Chase Parham spoke to America's youth last night, yesterday afternoon.
Yesterday morning.
It's been a long day, Chase.
Yeah, that was not even 24 hours ago.
We spoke to America's youth.
We got questions. We answered questions.
Think about that for a minute. The two of us spoke to the future of America.
Someone in the room might have used the word brilliant. I don't know. I'm just saying. I mean,
someone in that room did say we are, and I quote, brilliant, end quote.
Yes. Neil is getting a tapestry made with that monogram right down the middle of it. He's going to hang it here in the office somewhere.
I texted so many people with, I was called brilliant. And they're like, were they drunk?
Not that we're aware of.
She seems sober.
Yeah, that's fine. So anyway.
Seemed to be an intelligent person.
Yes.
I mean, at this point, I think she might be the smartest person on earth.
Not going to argue with that, are you?
Are you going to argue?
No, I'm good.
You were called brilliant as well.
I was. So, Ole Miss baseball tomorrow night, Arkansas State. We'll talk to Mike Bianco. We'll talk to players later today. They had an off day yesterday after getting back from Nashville a little
Mike's
later
still
than
the coach?
Expected. Huh?
Mike's still the coach?
As far as I'm aware of.
Okay.
I have not been gotten any.
I saw where he was fired on the internet numerous times, so I just was checking. All right, let me ask you this. All jokes aside, kind of joking, sort of.
Yeah.
I think my dogs are brawling.
I like the little one's chances.
I like Rizzo versus Gus. I love Gus, but if we're betting, my money's all on Rizzo. Mississippi State's next coach, it's not your boy Dan, is it? That rumor's flying around, and I'm one to typically dismiss rumors, and then when rumors stick around, it is my nature to go, well.
As I've said on this podcast, I have not spoken to Dan McDonald since last fall. Last time I talked to him, or the last time that anything about jobs or anything came up, I would have said, no way, he has security, he has an AD that is giving him anything he needs, he's making over $1 million a year, and there's no reason to leave because you're in the ACC. Since that point, Tom Jurich is out, and I don't know what they've done from an administrative standpoint, but I do wonder if an administrator that knows you're going to lose money on a sport puts that level of support into said sport. And I don't know that answer. I think there was also something in Dan's contract that either eliminated or dramatically lessened his buyout if Jurich left. I think there was some language in there regarding that. I'm not saying he's going anywhere. I don't know. I don't have any information. I'm just telling you that things have changed to the point of I'm not disregarding his move. I would not expect Mississippi State. The baseball circle name that I hear that I might even put a little credence to is Tim Tadlock at Texas Tech. That's a name that if you told me a big name jumped, I think that's where I put my money.
Okay.
More than Dan. And look, Tim would be an excellent fit at Mississippi State. Excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. I didn't really think about his name at all. It kind of just didn't slip my mind he would leave Tech. But I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago who said that is a thought that is permeating throughout the college baseball world a little bit. So Schlossnagel doesn't make much sense to me at all. I don't know why you would leave TCU for that.
No. If Dan were to leave and go to Mississippi State, how would that change the dynamic in the state?
By the way, Tim Tadlock would be leaving his alma mater. I know some people care about that. Just saying.
That's something to think about.
Yeah, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
He's always coached in the Big 12. He's been at Oklahoma and then Texas Tech since 2012.
I don't even know Tim Tadlock. I know nothing about Texas Tech baseball. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say leverage.
You're going to guess leverage.
I'm guessing leverage so that he can go to the people at Lubbock and go, hey, you know I want to stay, but –
he's been to the College World Series several times. He's been in the Super Regional round several times. He's good. They're good. Here's the deal. Dan's going to win anywhere Dan goes. Dan is a great coach.
You hate me right now.
No, it's fine. I mean, now here's the deal, though. The Dan McDonald model that worked so well in Mississippi from 2001 to 2006, whatever, that years, yeah. It doesn't exist anymore because they've changed a lot of rules since then. Dan McDonald was brilliant at piecing together small scholarships into something meaningful, into taking books-only scholarships and manipulating those a little bit.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore. Today's rules, 35 players, 27 scholarship players, 11.7 scholarships, and every scholarship player has to have at least 25% of a scholarship.
Okay.
So you can't do that, hey, 5%, 10%, let me nickel and dime. No, it's a pretty standard. They've taken away a lot of the flexibility that college baseball programs had to put a bunch of crap together.
So his creativity that made him so successful
would be at least lessened. I don't know. Maybe he's still better than so-and-so would be or whatever. I don't know. But, yeah, the model he'd used, though, no longer exists. So that is taken into account. But, no, he'd be great. I mean, he would work. It would win. I mean, he's good. He's similar to Mike. I mean, the same dude in a lot of ways. I don't know what it would do to this rivalry in the state. I might move to Alaska. I'm done. I have no interest whatsoever. But I mean,
if you want to cover Ole Miss baseball, send your applications to.
I put my head in it though, and think, would Dan take it? Let's take Louisville out. Let's just say Dan's unemployed and picking jobs. Would he take Mississippi State over other jobs? They'd pay him a ton of money. They overpay on baseball.
They really do.
They're building a stadium right now that they can't afford, frankly.
It's true.
Yeah.
They're building a baseball stadium. Look, I get labeled as a hater of college baseball, and it's BS. It's not true. It's absolutely not true. You don't have to build Taj Mahals to be successful as a baseball program. You don't. You don't. You saw Vanderbilt the other day. It's a very successful baseball program. I know they have some advantages other people don't have, but they're in Nashville.
Has a pathetic stadium.
Yeah, and they're just now addressing it. You don't have to have.
It's a plus.
Yeah, you don't have to build.
Well, yeah,
AT&T
Park. I don't think so and so is going to come from Pelahatchie or Purvis and go. Sorry to those towns. This first one's popped in my head. And goes, hey, well, you know, Ole Miss has got 12 club suite seats. State's only got 8. I'm a rebel.
Of course not. It's insane. Yeah. It's just not necessary.
Southern Miss has a popcorn machine in their press box. I'm in.
Like, I mean, come on. Vanderbilt's facility is it's nothing. It's fine. And they do perfectly well. My point is it's just not a necessity. Now, Ole Miss is smart. Ole Miss, I think, is kind of
money.
They're making money off baseball. And there aren't many programs in the country that are. But if Ole Miss announced today, hey, we're going to spend another $100 million on the college baseball stadium, you would say, you've had a stroke. You're an idiot. You're insane. People there would fall over.
Most of what Ole Miss did was player amenity-wise because, frankly, they were lacking in the conference. And just the club levels or the field level seats they have put in half a year, they've made an additional $560,000+
Yeah.
So far.
Smart.
Eventually that'll pay for itself and you'll move on with your day.
Sure.
So. No, again.
It's probably a tax write-off.
The rivalry would be toxic, but.
Yet the two people really like each
other. Love each other. Love each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my gut tells me he would not take it.
That's what my gut says to me.
Now, look, I get money and career and all those things matter more than this, but Dan McDonald's kid's still an Ole Miss fan. He literally wore an Ole Miss jersey to the baseball game when Ole Miss and Louisville played last. It's just, it's a weird deal. It would be really strange.
And the truth is, if Dan McDonald put out his resume.
He could get almost any job he wanted.
If he had somebody for him, a representative for him, which is how this.
There'd be some ADs that just fired their coaches and hired
him. Yeah, if they said, hey, Dan's available.
If he fired Joe over here, he'll take the job.
Just so you know, in the event that something happens and you have an opening, Dan is available at the conclusion of this season.
Some ADs would find a reason to make Joe no longer the baseball coach at State U.
To go through some phone records, dig some stuff up.
Call the secretary. Hey, look.
Have you ever met Coach so-and-so in an intimate setting?
That recruiting trip, can I get a little bit of an itinerary? That'd be great.
Has he seemed less tense lately to you?
Any trips to Gainesville? Just wondering.
Just curious. When he took that trip to Florida.
If he did take a trip to Florida, he could talk to Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel. It's a completely free service specializing in Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations. Taking the stress out of planning, taking care of dining and fast pass reservations, transportation, anything else related to your vacation. An expert in getting you out of line and onto more rides, no matter the crowds. You mentioned the podcast, you get a $25 Disney gift card for booking a vacation. You contact him for a free, no obligation quote. That's free. Brandon at keystodreamtravel.com or 901-634-8687.
Hey, Ole Miss fans living in or moving to Dallas, if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Metroplex, give Lauren Valick Ferris with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's a call. A rebel by marriage, Lauren specializes in East Dallas and has a network that extends throughout the DFW Metroplex. She loves cheering on the Rebs, and she would love to help Rebel fans in Dallas or moving to Dallas sell their home or find and buy their new one. Lauren is consistently ranked as a top agent producer in D Magazine. She was recently named a 2017 Advocate Top 10 Realtor in the Lakewood East Dallas area. So whether you're moving home, buying, selling, or referring a friend in one of the hottest housing and job markets in the country, you need a realtor who knows the town, and that is Lauren. 469-867-1734, or go to her website, laurenandkelly, that's with an EY.com. The podcast also brought to you by our friends at Journey Business Solution. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, Journey Business Solutions, Ben Brown and his team, they have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown at 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. And we're brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you'll know you're getting a great one when you get Robert Gambrell and Associates. They handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
Yeah, my favorite part of yesterday is we're talking to the class, and I now look, I do have things on my screen. They said, so how long do you guys prep every episode? hours
6 minutes,
literally minutes. It's good.
We did some prep yesterday for today's show. I did some.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I talked to numerous accounting tax people. I found out that seriously, one of the things that always blows me away about our community, which is what we are, and you talked about that in the class yesterday. If you're not a member of RebelGrove.com, you should join. It's like the cost of a lunch, a cheap lunch at a Subway. Like, you couldn't eat lunch on the square for the price of a subscription to RebelGrove.com. And one of the things that you get, all jokes aside, beyond content and all of Chase's deep dives into baseball and recruiting stuff and all of that, you get a community at RebelGrove.com on the message board that you can lurk, which is what I think the majority of people do, or you can participate. But what we learned, I learned it all the time, but yesterday there's a lot of really interesting people. It's a diverse community. They all have one basic thing in common. But after that, after their connection to Ole Miss, whatever it may be, however deep it may be, beyond that, there's some really fascinating people on that community.
Yeah, it's kind of the deal where, hey, I know a guy. There's going to be a dude for pretty much anything. I mean, very few things that you wouldn't have a dude for.
Yeah, multiple dudes. Yeah. I put that out yesterday, the day before tax day. I got four incredibly good emails. I mean, you're going to hear from
Neil following stereotypes. There's lawyers and tax attorneys with Ole Miss.
But really interesting people, though.
No, you're right.
I mean, that volunteered their time and listened. Two or three people who have listened to my story and not made me feel a damn bit better. Made me feel a little more sane. But but not better.
Hope for the future is what it is. Hope for the future.
There is hope. I have said this today to myself. We like sports analogies. You and I cover sports. Sometimes in sports, you're a football team. You get your ass kicked on Saturday, right? I mean, it's bad. And you have to sit there the next day and you watch the film. And at some point, you trash the film, clean yourself up, and you try to prevent it from happening again. Today is the day that I'm watching the film. Later today, we're going to throw that film in the trash. And we're going to get ready for the next game. We're going to do better. We're going to learn from our mistakes.
Going to be a good 2018. Or April 19.
Tomorrow is Get Better Monday. Was it Get Better Monday? Is that what he called it?
I think it was Get Better Monday.
Get Better Monday.
Got a street fight coming. Every coach has one of those. You got.
Yeah, they all have their own.
Freeze one to lock the gates and pick fights. And
let's lock the gates. Pick a fight.
I may ask Mike today, depending on his mood. Ole Miss keeps putting out all these motivational Mondays with Mike. He has really weird, interesting stories he tells the team all the time. And I'm kind of wondering, do you have a book somewhere? Where are we getting these from?
I know. I catch myself watching them, and I'm interested. The players sometimes don't look all that interested, but I'm fascinated. Yeah. That's pretty good.
He goes through these little human interest adversity stories all the time.
Yeah, and they're really good. I like always wonder, like, what the hell is he talking about out there? And now I kind of have a glimpse into it, and I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Because there's only so long you can, like, chew people out. I mean, at some point, it's done. I mean, you've said it. They know.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk some taxes. We're gonna go talk now to Bo Jackson about.
I can already see the headline. Bo Jackson joins. Yes. No, not that.
No,
Bo Jackson.
I'll avoid that today. I shouldn't probably, but I will. So, here's Bo Jackson, Billy's Pecans Hotline.
All right, Bo. Thanks for joining us here on the program. Today's a goofy, blank day, for a number of reasons. So I'll start with this. What is it like to go through life as Bo Jackson when you're not Bo Jackson?
It's interesting. Earlier, a lot more folks would pull that out. And living where I am now in West Georgia, about 5 miles from Alabama, a lot of folks will pull that on me. But I was talking to somebody the other day about, you know, I'm not the football baseball player, and they said, who?
Ooh.
And I realized we're aging out of Bo Knows.
Yeah, there had to be a year where, or a several year period where you could get in any restaurant you wanted to, right? Table for five, name Bo Jackson in Georgia, all good.
Near the Alabama line?
Yeah.
Probably a few Auburn people there.
Well, I will tell you a quick story. Back when I was with the New Orleans Symphony, we had Henry Mancini coming in to perform with the symphony. And this was when Bo Jackson was the Bo Jackson and Bo Knows. And I was calling this restaurant that Mr. Mancini wanted to go to, and I said, we needed to get in and out because there's a concert tonight that he needs to perform at. And he said, what reservation should I put in under? And I said, Bo Jackson, and he hung up on me. I had to call back.
All right, so today's tax day, which is a day that, quite frankly, should be a national day of mourning. There should be no work. We should all.
Yeah, Neil, you're not real big on, you know, you're paying for roads and infrastructure and education and the like, right?
Oh, let's not today. There are so many people who are not pulling their weight. That, my God,
I'm being a little antagonistic because I'm aware of Neil's current plight. But go ahead.
For people like Chase and I, who are business owners, essentially, who have somehow through serendipity or just sheer luck or whatever, maybe hard work, maybe all of the above, begun to have some success, what's the basic tax advice you give those people?
The fact that you're a business owner actually provides you with a lot of flexibility that a typical W-2 employee does not have. our tax laws are geared towards business owners and businesses more than they are for as far as being able to take advantage of the tax laws than they are for just a salaried employee. So you have a lot more flexibility in your planning than you do. The biggest mistake I see for small startup businesses that I work with is they set themselves up as an LLC. Now, an LLC can be taxed one of two ways, either as a partnership or as an S corporation. Both of them are pass-through entities where the income flows through and you pay the tax on your with a personal income tax. However, a partnership, the partners cannot pay themselves a salary, whereas an S corporation, an owner can pay himself a salary. And I see a lot of partnerships that have to go in and beg forgiveness from the IRS that, hey, they were doing mea culpa, we'll do a mea culpa saying they were paying themselves a salary, and they can't. They can take a guaranteed payment, but they can't take a salary. And they'll say, why not? And it's just, it's against the law. And if you are paying a guaranteed payment, you have to pay quarterly estimates. And that's the biggest bugaboo, is making sure you pay those quarterly estimates. One of the advantages of an S corporation is if you haven't been withholding or paying all along, at year end, you can give yourself one check at December 31st, and all it is to pay state and federal tax. And as far as the IRS and Mississippi Department of Revenue goes, you've paid those taxes all year long, so you're going to minimize any penalty or interest. Also, as a business owner, any expenditure that you spend that's business-related is a deduction, which gives you a lot more flexibility than you would, again, if you didn't have your own business. I know it's sort of a long-drawn-up answer, but...
No, I understood it.
No,
Neil understood it, too.
I painfully understand every word of it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, April's the tax day is always the day before tax day, and tax day are always interesting days for CPAs. Everybody's calling, and it's pretty manic. And the day after April 15th or April 17th, this case is like the unofficial accountants and attorneys holiday across the country after dealing with taxes for their clients.
Yeah, and it's also hypothetically a day that you begin to take stock of the fact that you don't have as many clients as you did 2 days earlier. Speaking hypothetically, of course.
Hypothetically, of course, yes.
I'm curious. A lot of people ask this tax time. People talk about the benefits or lack thereof of a, quote, flat tax. I know not everybody's a business owner. Your opinion, would a flat tax for a country like the U.S. work or not work, and why or why not?
It could, but the rates that have been quoted for the flat tax wouldn't work. The AICPA has actually taken a look at, you know, some of the different proposals for a flat tax, and most proposals have been, you know, less than 20%, but for it to really work, it's going to have to be somewhere around 30% flat tax, and most people don't like that. Also, a lot of folks with the flat tax, they would say they'd get rid of the IRS, which means that every business would be responsible for sort of collecting that flat tax, because it's basically be a national sales tax is what the flat tax would. And the flat tax, or what they call a fair tax, two different things, but the flat tax is going to be a whole lot higher than most people realize. A lot of people don't realize also that of the 36 countries in the OECD, which is the 36 largest economies in the world, the U.S. has the 32nd lowest tax burden of those 36 countries. Only Mexico, Chile, Ireland, and Korea have a lower tax burden than the U.S. We pay a lot. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, Chase. Yeah, finish your thought.
I was saying, so we pay a lot, but we don't pay nearly as much as other countries. And the biggest difference is most other countries have what they call a value-added tax, or a VAT, which is basically a sales tax on each level of production to make sure that there's nobody really skipping out on paying taxes and everybody pays their tax. And the U.S. is the only country, major country in the world that doesn't have a VAT. And the reason we have it is it's sort of a hidden tax, and some of the conservatives are concerned that it would raise too much money, and some of the liberals don't like it because it can be sort of a regressive tax. So But that's probably the most effective tax out there in the world that we don't use here in the U.S.
But I'll move you along a little bit. Neil's going to get out his itemized statements and start going down them line by line. So
happening in a couple of hours, yeah. But go ahead.
You've had some experience with professional athletes, celebrities, people that have much stranger tax situations than Mr. McCready over here. What I guess what's the not really telling you to make story time, but for lack of a better term, I mean, baseball players and different things. What's some of the things that people wouldn't necessarily understand about some of those salaries and tax situations?
Okay, let's say, for example, baseball player.
Gotcha.
Most people don't realize that when you get your signing bonus, that's supposed to last you until you make it to the majors, if you ever make it to the majors.
Right.
And most people don't realize how low the salary is for a baseball player. For example, rookie league, it's $1,100 a month. Class A, it's $1,500. $1,100 for Class A, $1,500 for Double A, and $2,150 a month for Triple A. And you're only paid for the 6 months that you play, so that's not a whole lot of money. It's when you get to the majors that you make a whole lot of money. One of my clients, when he was signed with the Braves do a really good job with their signees, and they go in there and they have like a week long of financial planning and other issues that a lot of these kids out of high school, or in this case, a client who was a college graduate, don't really realize with financial planning and personal financial planning, taxes. And they try and do a good job of telling them to manage their money. And they'll also tell them, look to your left and look to your right. And of the three of you, only one of you is going to make it to the majors. And that's one thing. One of the things I've helped is helping with signing bonuses, deciding on the best way to take the signing bonus. For example, sometimes you may take your signing bonus over 1 year or 2 years, and you just run the numbers to see which way is the best way to do it. One of the more interesting things is the guys who play overseas, and you hear some of these baseball players who have visa problems getting into the U.S. and are late for reporting. What's happening is when you play overseas in a lot of these countries, you have to settle up with the tax authorities before you have a work permit to work in those countries, a work visa. And for a lot of these countries, before you leave, you have to settle up with the tax authorities before you're allowed to get on the plane to leave. So when you hear so-and-so's having visa problems, a lot of times they haven't settled up with the tax authorities, and that's why they can't report to camp here in the U.S.
I'm sorry, go ahead. No, you're fine. What is kind of the rule on, we always hear this, I've heard it with golf, I've heard it with baseball, where they have to pay in each state that they play in, because technically you'd be making money in those states.
Do you see that where if you play for the Yankees, for example, you pay, you say, 3 to 4 times more taxes to different states than you do if you play for, say, the Marlins?
Okay, explain that to me.
Okay, because what's happening is everybody's going to pay the same federal tax, but wherever you work, you're going to be subject to the state income tax. So, for example, the Florida Marlins, there is no state income tax there, so they don't have to pay for their home games. Now, when they're on the road, they have to pay tax in those states. Now, if you're in the minor leagues, for example, you don't earn enough. Each state has a threshold of how much you have to earn in that state to before you have to file in those states. So, for example, a typical AAA farm player doesn't make enough to have to pay in the different states they play in. But once you get to the majors, it's a whole different ball game. So that W-2 that they get from the ball club will have listed all the different states that they've had withholding taking out of. And that's one thing. Now, if you're in the American League and you have to play in Toronto, or if you're in the National League and have to play up in Toronto, then you have to file a Canadian tax return as well as a U.S. tax return.
So if I'm a free agent, why the hell am I not signing with the team in Florida or Texas? I mean, it would just make all the sense in the world, right?
A lot of players with their agents, that's something they look at. Now, another thing that they look at is if they make their home in Florida or Texas, and the earnings that they have outside of baseball or football or whatever, basketball, that would then be not taxable, even if you're playing in another state. You understand what I'm saying? So you're endorsement deals and so forth would not be taxable because you're earning it in Florida or Texas.
I think I understand.
Now, okay. Another thing you want to do is if you're going to have to go, if you, a lot of these athletes don't manage their money well and they go bankrupt, well, the two best states to go bankrupt in are Texas and Florida. like, for example, if you remember when Enron went under in Texas, the law used to be you could have as big a house on 1 acre, and that was not subject to bankruptcy law, so you could keep it, go bankrupt, and then turn around to sell it. Well, Florida, it's as big a house as you want. So one infamous fellow bought a $15 million mansion before his company went bankrupt. All of his debts were settled, then turned around and sold his $15 million mansion, and he still had $15 million after bankruptcy. Because he was in Florida.
That's forward thinking.
That's a boss move right there. So you've had a, beyond being named Bo Jackson, you've had a pretty fascinating career. You have lived, you're one of the very few people that I think in the world that could say that you've lived in both North and South Louisiana and Belgium, right?
Belgium and the Netherlands, and the Netherlands Antilles, and some of the other islands in the Caribbean, yeah.
Where was your favorite place to live of all the places you've lived? Where was the one place that you said, if you told me I could just only live in one place, this is where I'd go?
In the United States, you would love this, Neil. Shreveport. I really loved when I lived in Shreveport. That's a North Louisiana.
Wait, what?
Place to live.
What? Are you having a stroke right now on the air? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Shreveport, why?
It's just a great town. I have a lot of fun memories, and there were some great folks that I had when I was living in Shreveport when I was growing up, and it's just a great town, I thought.
You and David Cutcliffe.
I also enjoyed a whole lot living in Miami. That's just a great, vibrant city to live in.
I can see that. What about outside of the States? What was your favorite place?
The people in Aruba are like the coolest, greatest people, but it's a desert island, so it's not the lush tropical island like you would think. But if I were to win the lottery tomorrow, I know exactly where I'd build my house. It'd be in St. Croix.
The
U.S. Virgin Islands are really cool.
Yeah, I've never been, but I've heard. Well, good luck on winning the lottery. Really appreciate your time today. You stepped up when you certainly did not have to, and you didn't know what you were walking into. We really appreciate it, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Anytime. Enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks, Bo.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks to Bo for joining us on today's show. Hope you guys got a little snippet of some information, something you didn't know out of that there segment. You can't say we're not okay with being diverse on this here podcast.
We can't be hardcore sports all the time. The football season is 4.5 months away.
Best sports talk radio show in the country right now. They don't really talk sports.
Dan Le Batard.
Yeah.
The ratings say that it's the best, and they don't talk sports ever.
No. Like I said, they spent what's a chip for an hour one day. So anyway, podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773, MasterCutsLawn.com. And remember, pressure washing, if you sign an annual contract, let them take care of your yard all year long. You get free pressure washing of your driveway and sidewalks, or $50 off a pressure washing job of more than 2,000 square feet. 662-607-7773.
Bo Jackson and other guests join us on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Billy's Pecans knows the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, tokens of goodwill for a referral. From 5 to 5,000 orders, Billy's Pecans will handle it all with expertise and excellence, all with their signature Southern style, and with items at every price point you simply can't choose wrong. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, shipped fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans and More, and it couldn't be more satisfying. It's billyspecans.com or 1-800-624-7404. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's fantastic service after the sale. They're just wonderful people there at Grenada Nissan. I've done business with them for, gosh, a decade. You can take my word for it. Get in touch with them. Tell them you heard about it on the podcast. You heard about it at rebelgrove.com. You get a little extra special treatment there at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. We're also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. He knows, no one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than he does. Go to his sites, HarryAlexander.com. You can filter through by what you're looking for. It is a kind of a crazy, as Chase can tell you, kind of a crazy housing market right now. Lots of new construction, lots of stuff happening. You need an expert to kind of guide you through it so that you get a deal now that you're happy with and that you'll also be happy with 5 years from now, 10 years from now. That's Harry. It's H-A at HarryAlexander.com. And Ole Miss Rebel Nation 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss and Arkansas State, as Chase told you, tomorrow night at Swayze, and then over the weekend, the Georgia Bulldogs come to town Friday through Sunday. Tickets available at OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com.
Losing a little bit of my train of thought this morning.
That's all right. It's forgivable.
I had something in my head, but now I don't remember what.
Did you see Bryce Harper hit a home run with a broken bat?
I watched that about 12 times trying to figure it out. Also, your boy got his account suspended last night.
Ooh.
Did you see that?
No.
Some idiot fan that is fans of some other people apparently wanted to be a jerk on Twitter and sent a note to Major League Baseball and got Pitching Ninja suspended on Twitter for using copyrighted infringements last night. Baseball suspended his Twitter account last night. Good job, Major League Baseball. Having a hard time connecting with fans, and we take a guy who's just complimenting your players and you get him suspended on Twitter. Good job.
A guy whose Twitter account is basically free
a celebration of pitching.
Free advertising.
Oh, our material. Copyrighted material.
Oh, my God. You can love NBA, hate NBA. You can love different.
Well, nobody's like baseball. I mean, they take it to the extreme.
They're the worst. That's horrible.
Little news there. I replied to this on the message board. We speak of message board people. We also have dessert connoisseurs, apparently. I mean, personally, I'd go to Crystal and get a Red Hot Shake, an Oreo Shake, or something along those lines. But made note of, there was a post yesterday, a thread, on what is kind of your one sweet candy bar thing that if you're just going to kind of indulge in yourself, what is it? What do you do?
Okay.
And this guy said he goes and gets a large Butterfinger Blast from Sonic. Extra Butterfinger, and adds hot fudge.
Ooh.
Can't be less than 2,500 calories.
I wouldn't think.
I do like a blast now, but Butterfinger kind of gets stuck in my teeth. I'm not a huge fan because of that. But what I was going to say is Sonic does those weird things with the sizes. A large at Sonic is basically a bathtub. Like, if you order the mini, that's most people's small to regular, and yeah. Then you start going up the regular and the large. I mean, it can get stupid fast. I mean, I've probably told the story, like, Patrick Oakes, he wanted a blast or something one day when we were still in the same town, and maybe it was his wife that did it. I don't remember who picked it up for him, but he said he wanted the blast, and she goes to pay, and it's like, yeah, that'll be $13.12 or something. It was like, for ice cream? And it comes out, and they put the blast in, like, the Route 44 cup, so he gets 44 ounces of
no way you're eating that much ice cream.
Ice cream.
That's the problem, though, is if you get that size, you have a hard time stopping
because it's just there.
It's there and it's good and you're there and
yeah. See, you have the benefit of liking salty, not sweet.
Yes,
and it's a positive. I very rarely crave something salty.
You crave sweets a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't really indulge in them, but I would that will be my craving if I have one, yeah.
The only time I crave sweets is late at night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's it.
I really like frozen yogurt. I have a hard time not eating frozen yogurt if it's a possibility.
Like, this is actually the month or so that I'm bad about it, because I'll stay up in the playoffs and watch the late games, and I catch myself like third, fourth quarter of like the Portland game, hungry.
Do a little quiz for you here if you'd so like. Okay. This season in the NBA, top 10 best-selling jerseys. I'll give you two strikes. How many can you get?
Okay. Top 10, LeBron.
He is number 2.
Kevin Durant.
He is number 3.
Steph Curry.
He is number 1. So good job on hitting the top.
Top 10, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
He is 4. Good job on the top 4 through 4 picks.
James Harden.
He is number 9. Makes the list.
Okay. Russell Westbrook.
He is number 6.
Oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Lonzo Ball.
He is 12. Just missed.
Okay. Good. Thank God. Because he's very overrated. Kyrie Irving.
He is number 5. I would have gotten...
Anthony Davis.
No.
Really?
No.
So underrated. Oh, man. Chris Paul?
No. You're missing 3. You've struck out, but I'll give you one more guess before I tell you.
I'm trying to think who's like the obvious guy that I'm missing. I know there's somebody very obvious.
I would think you would have gotten 2 of the next 3.
Paul George?
No.
Okay, fill me in.
Two of them are on the same team. They are all in the Eastern Conference. They are...
Oh, John Wall?
No. Porzingis at 7.
Oh, yeah, New York.
Embiid at 8.
Oh, good.
And Ben Simmons at 10.
Oh. Yeah. Philly got beat last night.
Yeah, saw that. Yeah, those are the top 10.
Simmons is fantastic. Great player.
Better than Ball.
Oh, yeah. Just stop. Not even close.
Okay. Let's quickly talk a little golf. We're going to talk to Steve Gent for a second again, the director of the North Mississippi Classic. Beginning Thursday, fans can start coming out on Wednesday as they'll have pro practice rounds and the pro-am going on and then going on through Sunday. Another reminder, no show tomorrow because of that. I will be not trying to not embarrass myself somewhere on a golf course. So, no show tomorrow. I don't know the rules. If they'll let me, I'll do some periscopes and things to let you laugh at me. But I really don't know if that's allowed or not. I'll ask at some point in the next 24 hours or so. So, no show. Be back on Thursday. But anyway, now let's talk a little golf in case you're showing up for the weekend. Here's what you need to know from the North Mississippi Classic. Steve, thanks for joining us here this morning. Getting finally to time to get this thing going. I guess it feels like... Is it Christmas, or is it more when it even gets a little worse as far as worrying about what could happen?
I don't know. I think it is kind of neat to see it. It's like maybe a kid opening up present on Christmas Day. But we're excited. It's a year in the works here of putting together this event, and so it's fun to see all the pieces of the puzzle kind of come into play here. When you see the equipment trailers roll in, and then players start to show up, and the signage and tents and everything go up, it's a feeling of excitement, but also it's great satisfaction. So we think it's going to be a great week.
I know as we're recording this, Monday qualifier is still going on, but tell me a little about the field. How did that shape up?
Field shaped up well for us. I mean, I think it's probably one of the best web.com fields of the year. I mean, we've got some great guys like Sam Burns, Stuart Appleby in the field. Also some younger guys like Wyndham Clark, Matt Fast, who played Mississippi State's in the field. Braden Thornberry was given one of our unrestricted exemptions. We gave another one to Tommy Gainey. We gave one to Drew Love, Davis's son. And then we gave an exemption to a guy named Cameron Davis, who actually won the Australian PGA last year, beating the likes of Jordan Spieth and Jason Day to win that title. So he's probably our highest ranked player in the field. And I think they're going to like what they see. The golf course is in really good shape, in spite of all the rain we've got. The greens are terrific. And I think the competition's going to be pretty incredible.
So for fans just now kind of learning about things, said, hey, I want to come out, what options do they have? Kind of what's the setup for fans this week?
Well, we've got public parking that's free, that's at the convention center today, well, starting Wednesday for the Pro-Am until Friday. And then Saturday, Sunday, the parking's at Oxford High School. Tickets are inexpensive, $10 for the day, $25 for the week. Kids 17 and under get in free. We've got concession stands out on kind of that 12, 13, 5, and 6 area. We've got up by the clubhouse. We've got a really neat deck on 17 that Anheuser-Busch is helping to sponsor. There's going to be different concessions there for 2 days, each other day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I think they're going to see, you know, obviously what I feel is, you know, 156 of the best players in the world. And when I mean the world, I mean there are players from the United States and there are players from all over the world that are trying to make it to the PGA Tour. And I think it's going to be a terrific event.
And you're getting good weather, it looks like, for the most part of it.
Yeah, it looks like we got the rain out of the way. It's a little chilly today for today's practice round, but it's supposed to be mid-70s tomorrow. A little bit of a chance of rain, possibly on our championship Sunday, but for the rest of the week, it looks just phenomenal. I mean, sunny skies and you know, mid-40s, low-50s in the morning. So it looks like that's going to cooperate.
What are kind of your days entailing now that the tournament's here? What do you kind of do each day?
You know, a lot of it's spending time with the players, with the media like yourself, you know, making sure that players, caddies, families are comfortable. They know. First couple of days, especially with the new event, is everyone knows where everything is. Hey, here's where player dining is. Here's where the media center is. Getting people with the right, you know, permits to park and you know, talking about the schedule events, what time parties start and things like that. So a lot of the early events is just making sure everybody knows where to go. And then the rest of the week is just really kind of making sure a lot of our sponsors are having a great time. Our Century Club members kind of know everything. It changes by the minute. You'll get a phone call that you need to go run and talk to somebody about something. So it's a lot of, I don't want to call them fire drills, but it's just kind of reacting to different questions.
You and I have been talking, I guess, the last couple of months, but you also did Sanderson Farms in the fall with in Jackson. When does that process really start? Is it year-round? Kind of how do you go from a calendar year of navigating that?
Yeah, both of these are year-round events. But the good thing is, you know, this is in the spring, that's in the fall. So the dynamics of what you're working on at any given time, you know, the things are different. The things that we're working on now 6 months out for the Sanderson Farms Championship are renewing those sponsors and you know, and talking to people about playing in the Pro-Am and doing hospitality down there. You know, the great thing is I've got an incredible staff that can juggle both events. You know, we did hire someone to be a salesperson here in Oxford, but John Mercer and our staff down in Jackson, Aaron Johnson, done a great job renewing Sanderson Farms. So we've been able to kind of handle both events and juggle both of them at the same time. You know, we'll get this event done. We'll wrap up everything off the golf course and you kind of really kick it in the gear for the Sanderson Farms Championship. You know, while, again, up here, we're starting to work on renewals and everything for this event for the next year. So it's a little seasonal. But, you know, it's the carnival come to town. I mean, you see the tents, and we'll pull up stakes next week, and the web.com tour will move someplace else and up to Indiana, and then we'll get ready for the Sanderson Farms event.
Looks like you've got a pretty good bit of stability with the Sanderson Farms events right now with them, especially the title sponsor and whatnot.
We do. I mean, that, you know, obviously they'll be in their, you know, they have 9 more years in their agreement there, and this will be our 5th year back at the country club. So that event won't be starting something new from scratch like this is. That's just kind of tweaking little different areas that we feel like we want to adjust. And, you know, we always want to get more sponsors there and get more people involved and get the crowds to grow. But that's just kind of making gradual improvements down there.
This being year one, what are kind of, you know, a couple of things that, you know, you have to make sure in the first year of an event that go well and just making sure everybody's excited and kind of engaged with said event?
Yeah, I mean, I think first year here, it's the logistics of where we're going to stage the things we're going to build, where we park vendors, do these parking lots make sense, getting everybody on board with the event and what we're doing. I mean, we're trying to show this community that hosting a web.com event is a really neat thing for your event, for your community. I mean, there's only 26 events across the country, so to have one is pretty cool. And, you know, again, we talked about how good these players are. But just to let everybody know what's going on, just like you talked, where do you park? Tickets are inexpensive. Concessions are expensive. How fun it is to kind of walk around here and watch professional golf. Just to kind of get that word out, as I think is what we'll probably work more on this year than we will maybe down the road.
Yeah, the people that, you know, haven't been to Jackson or Memphis, just understanding how good some of these guys are, when they get to actually see it in person and go, wow, that's this different.
Well, if you think about it, 25 of these guys for sure, based on their season-ending money list, will be on the PGA Tour next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be 25 guys come out of the Web.com Tour playoffs, which will be most of these guys in the field. There are a couple people that have some exemptions in those playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, you'll see some of these guys' names and faces on the PGA Tour next year. And if we look at it, the last four major winners are, you know, players under the age of 27. So, we're seeing kind of the youth movement come through golf, and there's nothing to say that, you know, somebody that wins here this week is going to be the master champion here in a few years. So,
good luck. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for being.
Thanks to Steve for giving me a few minutes yesterday. The podcast was brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com is the website, or locally there in Holly Springs, where you get your sildenafil. If you so choose, you know, it's the $10 alternative to that $50 or $60 little blue pill that works in the same amount of time and keeps the same length of effectiveness as well. 662-252-2321 is the phone number. Or when you fill out the form, give them the doctor's name, get the prescription ready, and give it where and deliver it to you wherever you are. Also now in Oxford as well with G&M Pharmacy. They deliver local, or they're there on South Lamar.
Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield and three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01%. APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South Tailgating is celebrating 10 years of business this season for people tailgating in or around the Grove at Ole Miss football. The season will be here before you know it. You want to get in touch with 7 South. They can set up your tailgate however complicated and sophisticated or simple you want it to be. Try 7 South tailgating once, and you'll never tailgate without them again. You can set up your own. They'll set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one can or will match the customer service and attention to detail that you get with 7 South tailgating. So get in touch with Kyle Thornton and the people there at 7 South at 7southtailgating.com. Also, we're getting closer to April the 28th. April the 28th at the World Music Nashville at 7 p.m. You can see the Moonlight Grahams. They're going to be performing at 7, April 28th, World Music Nashville. You can get tickets at ticketzone.com. You can check out their new album, The Moonlight Grahams, on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. It's all there. So check that out and get your tickets at Ticket Zone and enjoy the Moonlight Grahams, April 28th, World Music Nashville, 7 p.m.
Yeah, the Sixers were the third best-selling NBA team in merchandise sold on the at the online store this season, their highest season-ending ranking since 2003.
It's two things. Young stars.
Mm-hmm.
And their uniforms are just fantastic.
They do have great logos and colors and everything.
Carson and I had this discussion coming home from South Haven the other day. He's like, whose uniforms do you like the best? And I said, the Sixers, right off the bat. Really? I'm like, yeah, look at them. And by the end, he was with me.
Yeah, if you were just picking a team out of nowhere, the Sixers would be really high up on your list if you're just jumping on a bandwagon.
Oh, if you're hopping on a wagon, yeah. Looking for a fun team to watch, they're it.
Just give me some sort of connection. Don't really care, but sure, why not?
Or Milwaukee. Giannis is really likable.
About Philadelphia, though. I don't know. Something about the Sixers is more intriguing there.
Oh, they're fascinating because they have some different cats. 6'10 point guard who will freely tell you that he's the best player in the league. A center who is crazy, certified crazy, phenomenal. Fultz. They're They are the team in the offseason that is going to potentially shake it up.
Okay.
They could trade Fultz. They have picks. They have open salary spot to go out and get a big timer. Are you looking for a wild card for where does LeBron end up? What happens if San Antonio trades Kawhi Leonard? Would San Antonio trade Kawhi Leonard for Fultz and a pick? Going to lose him in a year. Boy, you put a Kawhi Leonard or a LeBron James on the Sixers, it's a game changer.
I'm a little worried about my my own game tomorrow, but I don't think it'd have been fair to stick you out in the pro-am tomorrow, Neil, with the group of people.
Well, in fairness, the pro-am people reached out to both of us, yeah. and Cal Campbell approached me about it, and I just said, "Come on." I mean, it was one thing when it was in an environment that was controllable.
You already played with the pro. You have experience.
It was one thing when I was in an environment that was – I would have loved to have played, but it'd be one thing in an environment that's controllable because you and Jonathan helped me a lot.
Yeah.
Kind of guided me a little. No one's going to be able to –
There's no one on the course, really.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
And no one's going to get hurt.
Well, no one's going to get hurt.
Well, be people on the course. I just said, nah, I mean, listen, I appreciate the invitation. It's very generous, very kind, but no.
Yeah.
You agreed with my decision.
I had no issue with your decision.
Thank
yes,
you.
That was fine.
For the people that think I'm an absolute jerk who thinks about no one but himself.
A pro that has no idea who you are, you're going to go, hey, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to shoot 175 today. We're going to do a lot of picking up once we get to, you know, double par or so.
Yeah,
we're going to move on with our day.
I mean, a pro would have been like, who is this guy and why?
It's a team game, Neil. Team game. You want one score up, team game. Your pro makes a birdie. You made a birdie. Just saying. All right. Let's see. Basketball offer went out last night, I see, Neil. Still offering kids?
They're offering kids, yeah. They've offered multiple kids.
A lot of kids.
They are recruiting hard. They're still waiting for decisions from a couple guys. The transfer market is still developing. There's a lot going. Ole Miss basketball will be it will be newsworthy for at least another month before things slow down.
Think so?
Yes.
It's a long time.
It's an interesting transition. It seems to be going well. Now they got to kind of finish the deal on some guys.
I mean, that's the name of the game, period. It'll be the name of the game next year and then 10 years after that, no matter who the coach is.
It is. It's transition is the name of that game. College basketball is a transition game on and off the floor.
That's fair. All right. We will, again, be back on Thursday for another podcast. We're talking to Jeffrey Thursday. What are we doing?
I think we're talking to Jeffrey. I've got a beer garden that'll probably drop on Thursday. Lots of hockey. Crazy as that sounds. Jay Tate and I think are taping tomorrow as well for a greatest pod in the South. I need to get in touch with Russell. I keep thinking, man, recruiting's going to slow down, and it does not. So we'll get you one of those too. So we'll fill the void for you podcast-wise starting Thursday. We'll make up for Chase's golf excursion. And then we got to get ahead for Friday a little bit because I'll be campus touring.
Where are you going?
Louisiana Tech. Which is interesting. I'm a little flattered that Campbell wants to go look at Tech. She knows I grew up in Ruston. It was one of those deals where when she took the ACT the first time.
You don't expect much, though.
No. When she took the ACT the first time, at the end of the ACT, you know, they let you send your scores to whoever. I don't think Campbell knew names of any schools. You know what I mean? I mean, she's a high school kid. She didn't think about college. That's why I laugh at these freshmen that are committing to colleges 4 years away. It's like, come on. It's meaningless. It's just utterly meaningless. It just tells you that school's on his mind right now. But one of the schools she picked was Tech because she had heard of it. Because, you know, my brother has a degree from Tech. My sister-in-law has a degree from Tech. We have relatives, family in Ruston, et cetera. So she put Tech down. And to Tech's credit, they've done a great job of recruiting her. So she's interested. She'll go look. I don't think that's where she ends up probably.
Although she has to see things to compare it to. Just seeing one campus is not doing much.
Well, that's why we're going to go look at lots of schools. Yeah, we're gonna go look around. We're just getting started. This will be a fun little trip for her. She has made a friend already on the Tech campus, and she'll hang out with her a little bit. And
what are you going to do? Go see some old jaunts?
Man, I'm a party in Ruston. Are you kidding? I'm going to close that place down.
Drive over to Monroe.
God, I haven't been in Monroe, like in Monroe, in, trying to think.
I thought you went back like last year or year before.
Remember, I just stayed a night in Ruston.
Oh, did you?
I haven't been in Monroe since Campbell, the year she was born, since 2000. So it's been 17 years.
Okay. Little last thing here on the golf event. Former Ole Miss golfer Ben Walcott, he qualified during the Monday qualifier in Tunica yesterday, so he'll also be a part of the field here. This weekend, Braden Thornberry, he has a very, very busy week. They're finishing up their round at Waverly this morning. Ole Miss went into the day with a several-shot lead over LSU. Braden is winning the individual race as well. He is currently 6-under. With a 3-shot lead, he is teeing off. Just teed off, actually. For his final round, he will return tomorrow, do a practice round in Oxford, and then play in the Web.com event at least Thursday and Friday, if he makes the cut, Saturday and Sunday as well. So we'll talk to you on Thursday. Have a good day.